Jesus approaches this woman and in a short amount of time starts peeling back the layers of defensiveness. Tough on the outside, broken on the inside.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Straight Talk Radio, and wherever you are right now listening, I want to welcome you to the show. My name is Joshua Halleck. Happy to be your host, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, senior pastor and author at New Life Community Church. Now, Pastor Mark, you're taking us today into the second half of an exciting, relevant message for people living in the city or wherever they're at. And you've called it, How Full Is Your Bucket? And you've taken us to John 4, where Jesus is encountering a woman who's had a hard life, a lot of shells and walls around her, and maneuvering that she does to make it through. And Jesus zooms right in on the core issues of her life, and he begins to rewrite her story.
Yeah, this is an incredible story, Joshua. And this part of the message, we're going to look at how Jesus peels back the layers of excuses. I am just shocked sometimes at the amount of excuses that we put before God when it comes to change. And this woman is no exception. I mean, she is excusing. She wants to get into religious excuses. She wants to get into peer pressure excuses. She tries to turn it into a religious argument. And I love that Jesus just kind of keeps scooting past those excuses and goes right to the heart.
Yeah. And even when she does seem to kind of get somewhere, God, you know, God opens her eyes, she still wants to delay it. She wants to postpone it. Well, later.
You know, and I believe that we've become experts at postponing change. There's someone listening to me right now that you have been postponing change year after year, month after month. If you really are honest with yourself, think back 3 years ago. You promised yourself, you said, I'm going to change this area. And you've deceived yourself into thinking, yeah, it's going to happen. But, you know, 3 years ago you said it, 2 years ago you said it, a year ago you said it. Hey, it's time to stop postponing change.
Mm. This is the second half of the message, How Full Is Your Bucket? John chapter 4, verse 4 through 26. Let's get into the Word.
I want you to stop avoiding and start honestly looking honestly at the root issue that makes your life empty. So Jesus asked her simply for a cup of water, and she reacts. Now, I have to say that Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. There was a racial tension between them. And Samaria, most Jews, if they were born like Jesus, would avoid Samaria. It's a long history. It went back a couple hundred years. There was religious fighting between them about whether they should worship at this place or whether they should worship at that place. The Jews considered the Samaritans half-breeds because they had an intermixing with other groups of people and not pure Jews. And so they kind of despised them and looked down at them. And most Jews would not go through Samaria, but Jesus was different. He went right through Samaria, right through the bad neighborhood. And stopped in the bad neighborhood to talk to a woman that had mega issues in her life. I love that about God, that he doesn't avoid people with issues and people that others look down upon. I love the fact that God is not looking for people that have their act all together. Their life is all cleaned up. They have a perfect background. They're the right race, the right color, the right height, the right economic position. I love the fact that he says, I'm just looking for people, no matter what your background, color, race, history is, I have a purpose and a plan for everybody, no matter where you've come from. I love that about Jesus. And so he begins to talk with this woman, but oftentimes the issues of our life make us very defensive. He said to the Samaritan woman, can you get me a drink? And she said to him, hey, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Then Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. I can almost see her eyes roll. sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water from? Verse 12, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself and did also his sons and livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give them will become a spring of living water welling up to eternal life. I love the fact that Jesus takes a discussion about water and turns it into a discussion about the soul. This woman is not going to have anything to do with it. I can almost see the nodding of her head, the rolling of her eyes, the cockiness in her posture against Jesus. Because you need to understand her story. You see, this woman not only was a Samaritan woman that had a racial issue with Jesus, but this woman had a history. We learn in this passage that this woman had been married 5 times and divorced 5 times. Now, you don't go through 5 divorces without being beat up, without being disillusioned with life, without getting tough, without becoming cynical, without feeling like, hey, life has given me a bad break. In fact, she'd gone through 5 divorces and now she was just living with the guy that she was with. She had issues, I believe, of rejection, of shame, of shunning. She had issues of brokenness, of distrust, of cynicism. When people have been through a lot of issues, when they've been hurt before, when they have been broken, when they have shame, the thing that we do is we get in defense mechanism. We make sure that people know, don't mess with me, don't step on me, don't take advantage of me, because I will let no one take advantage of me again. I've been hurt before, now I'm tough. Ever run into someone like that? Ever been that person? I'm never going to get hurt again. No one's going to take advantage of me again. You ask me for a drink of water, I'm going to say, get your own drink of water. I'm not going to be taken advantage of like that. Why are you asking me? Ask someone else. I'm going to make sure people know I'm not going to be walked on. I'm going to make sure everybody knows you can't take advantage of me. It's been done before, but I'm tough. I'm strong. I'll speak my mind. I'll tell you what I think. I'll keep you at a distance. Don't try to get into my heart. Don't look at my personal life, because I'm going to put you in my place. That is a sign of someone that's hurting inside, broken inside, and is going to make sure that they put a stiff arm to anybody that tries to get close. Tough on the outside, broken on the inside. And Jesus approaches this woman and in a short amount of time starts peeling back the layers of defensiveness. I mean, look at the conversation. Can you give me a drink? Hey, you shouldn't even be asking me for a drink. Hey, I have something good to give you, living water. I doubt it very much. Jesus, I can fill your empty bucket of life, woman. Yeah, give me some of that magic water. Yeah, right. Jesus, go call your husband, the woman. I don't have a husband. I love the fact that Jesus goes right to the issue. Her issue, it was broken relationships, trust, emptiness, disappointment in relationships. And Jesus goes right to that place. He says, hey, go call your husband. And the woman says, I don't have a husband. And then Jesus reveals that he knows her better than what she thinks he knows her. He says, you're right. You have had 5 husbands. And the man that you now have is not your husband, so what you said is quite true. Wow. What Jesus is saying is, I know you better than what you think I know you. You may try to stiff arm me. You may try to keep me away. You may try to act like you don't care. You may try to say, don't get personal. But Jesus is saying, I know you. I know your story. I know your heart. I know your issues. I know your fears. I know what you are anxious about. I know what makes you cry at night. I know what makes you panic. I know when you get into that dark hole, what sent you into that dark hole? I know your issues and I'm not afraid of them. This woman, when Jesus says you've had five husbands and he reveals this thing, you know, this woman, she is surprised that he knows, but she's not easy to crack. I believe that we all have legitimate issues that we try to fulfill. We have legitimate needs that we try to fulfill in illegitimate ways. The fact that you want to be happy is not a bad thing. The fact that you snort lines of cocaine on the weekend is a bad thing. The fact that you want to feel worth is not a bad thing. The fact that you have to get a little drunk and sleep with any guy that will tell you you're beautiful is a bad thing. The fact that you want to be significant is not a bad thing. The fact that you're a workaholic and neglect your family just to get that worth in your life is a bad thing. The fact that you want to be loved is not a bad thing. The fact that you're late night strolling through internet porn to get a little fill is a bad thing. The fact that you want to belong is not a bad thing. The fact that you have to hang out with the boys in the corner and throw down gang signs to belong is a bad thing. You see, what I'm telling you is that we all have legitimate needs, but many of us try to fulfill those legitimate needs in illegitimate ways. We try to fill the bucket. We try to fill the bucket of our life in ways that never quite fill us. It keeps us empty. This woman, whatever her story was trying to fill her life over and over and over with relationship after relationship. You know, I don't know exactly why she got a divorce the first time, but no woman goes into marriage thinking I'm going to divorce him in 6 months. There's always this illusion, it's going to work out, he's going to love me, we'll grow old together, this will be a beautiful relationship. On the wedding day, I'm sure she looked at him with eyes of just puppy eyes of, I love this guy, we're going to have a dream marriage. But somewhere down the road, maybe a year into it, she realized her dream had fallen apart and this crumbled and fell. No one goes through divorce without experiencing rejection, hurt, and brokenness. So she did what a lot of divorced people do. She thought the problem was him. If I just get the right guy, all my problems will be over. Do you realize that 70% of the people that get divorced, that get married a second time, get a divorce? In part because we haven't dealt with our issues. We just think if I switch out the partner, it'll work.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, How Full Is Your Bucket? It's from our current series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John, chapter 4. His message, How Full Is Your Bucket?
And so she got married a second time, this time thinking, all right, this time it's going to work. It didn't work the first time, but this time, finally, I married the opposite of who that guy was. This guy will really love me. This time it will work out. And to her chagrin and disappointment, that marriage fell apart again. And so she thought, well, the third time is the charm. I'll marry this guy and this will really work out. And that fell apart again. And then she married a fourth one and that fell apart again. By the fifth one, she's just kind of, well, do you have money or not? No illusions of love and commitment, of satisfaction, of we'll be together forever. And finally, when the fifth one fell apart, it's like, I'm done with marriage. I'm done with men that make commitments and don't follow through, men that don't work through the issues. I'm done. This guy I'm going to live with, but I'm not going to have him put a ring on my finger because I know how it's going to end up. He's probably going to be gone within a year. So I'm a cynic. I'm hard. I'm tough. I'm going to use him as long as he'll let me use him. But I'm never going to entrust my heart again. I've been hurt. And Jesus is peeling back the onion, getting to the heart of the issue and saying, you've had five husbands. And that one you have now is not even your husband. Number three, If you're going to fill this bucket, you need to also refuse to let excuses hold you back from major change. You need to remember that God is here and there could be a dramatic change. You need to realize that God wants to deal with the root of the issue, not just the exterior problem. But you also need to realize if you're going to change, if God is going to fill you, you have to stop making excuses. We are masters at making excuses when we don't want to really deal with our issues. How about it? If we feel like we're getting close, someone's moving in, we make an excuse, and sometimes we make excuses over petty issues. Jesus talks to this woman about her husband, who he can't know any other way except that he's a prophet, and she says in verse 19, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet." And then she switches and starts arguing about religion. "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where you worship is Jerusalem." What? He just told you you had five husbands. He just revealed something that you don't understand, and now you want to argue about worship places? Let me tell you something about us. Many of us would rather argue religion than talk about the issues of our heart. Because the issues of our heart are personal. Religion can be an excuse as to why I don't deal with the issues of my heart. And she wants to argue about religion, and Jesus says to her finally, "Hey, it's not about this mountain or that mountain. It's about a time is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. They that worship him must worship God in spirit and in truth, because God is a spirit." In essence, what Jesus was saying is stop arguing about religion. The important thing is there truth there, and is the spirit of God really in that place? You know, I feel like oftentimes we make petty excuses as to why we can't make major changes in our life. The guy that's afraid of commitment keeps telling his fiance, like his 12-year fiance, "Babe, I'm waiting to get the right ring, and you know, it's got to be the right one. I'm still saving up. It's not quite. The car broke down, then the heater, insurance, taxes. It's all about you and that right ring. I know you want one." Really? You're going to postpone a major significant decision to get things right with God and marry that woman over a little ring that you put on her finger? Come on, that's an excuse. I know some of you are slouching right now. And I just know some of your fiancés are like, You're acting like you're looking at your Bible on your smartphone, but you're texting, "That's for you." I believe that we do that with religion at times as well. I have people that come to this service and they're touched by the power of God. And they sense the presence of God. They sense truth and spirit, but they're unwilling to make a major commitment to God in this place because they want to argue about religion. I've had people come up to me and they say, "I sense God in this place." Some of them say, they tell me what background they're from. "Well, I'm Baptist, or I'm Methodist, or I'm Catholic, or I'm this, or I'm that." And they come and they say, "Well, you know, this is not my tradition." And some of them say, "I feel bad coming here because my tradition is that." And they say, "But I feel God in this place. And I see the truth in this place." But then they'll say, "But, you know, you don't have stained glass windows." Really? You're going to postpone a major decision because we don't have stained glass windows and we meet in a factory? Or, you know, "I like it, you know, I'm thinking about it, but where's the crucifix?" Yeah, you're not going to make a major decision because we don't have a crucifix in this place? "Or I really like this church. I like, but you know, I come from a tradition where the pastor wears a robe and a collar. And you wear blue jeans. Is that even legal in church?" Like, are you a real pastor, really? Where's your collar? And I think that people make excuses over petty issues or want to argue about religion when really what you're doing is you're afraid to make a major commitment to give your life to Christ. What's at stake here is your eternal destiny. What's at stake is not religion. You could read Genesis to Revelation and you won't find Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Assembly of God, Catholic, Lutheran. You won't find Presbyterian. You won't find United Church of Christ. What you will find is a relationship with God Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ, in which His Holy Spirit comes inside of you and turns you from the inside out, a relationship with the dynamic living God. Jesus said, it's spirit and truth. I would rather meet in a park where I experience spirit and truth than meet in a cathedral, a Gothic cathedral, if there's no spirit and there's no truth. I want to go where God is present. And this woman was making excuses, trying to argue against religion, and Jesus brought her back to the fact that it's not about religion, it's about spirit and truth, and she needed to be aware of that. And number four, lastly, I'm talking about really how full is your bucket. Number four, not only do we recognize divine timing, stop deflecting and look at our issues, refuse to let petty issues keep us back, but number four, open your eyes to His presence and stop postponing change. So finally, this woman in verse 25, she says to Jesus, I know that Messiah or the Christ, literally translated the restorer, is coming. And when He comes, He will explain everything to us. In essence, what she was saying is later, in the future, when I'm 50, when I get struck by lightning from on heaven, when I have a spiritual experience that changes me, when the Messiah comes sometime in the future, yeah, then I'll change. And Jesus says to her, listen up, this is really important. Jesus is sitting right next to her. And she says, when the Messiah comes, that will be the time. And Jesus says, I, the one speaking to you, am He. The presence of Jesus was right in front of her, and she didn't recognize it. The solution was right in front of her, right under her nose, and yet she didn't recognize it. Can I tell you something today? Can I tell you that some of you have been postponing a major decision for God because you think, well, I'm not ready yet, or I have to go on a pilgrimage, you know, in Israel, and maybe that's when it's all going to make sense, or I'm going to have sort of this enlightening experience, maybe in the future, maybe when I'm older, maybe when my life is more together. And what you don't realize is that you're sitting in an auditorium where the very presence of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Healer, the changer, the transformer, the one that is able to wash your past, change you, break addiction. He is here already. You don't have to do a pilgrimage to find the presence of God. He is here gathered amongst us. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is here right now, today. I've experienced it, seen it. This morning, a bunch of people gave their life to Christ. I had a lady come up to me and said, I was after service, and she came up to me and she said, you know, for years I went to church waiting for that lightning moment and feeling like, how come it's never happening to me? And she said, finally I realized it was here all the time. It wasn't waiting on God to do something. God was waiting on me to take a step. And she said, finally this year I took the step. I said, I'm going to read the word. I'm going to join a small group. I'm going to take a step. And she says, you know what? It opened up. I feel like I know God now. You've been waiting for God to do something, and God's already there.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church with the second half of his message entitled, How Full is Your Bucket? It's from his current series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Join us on the next Straight Talk for part three, What Do You See? As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJob, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a new Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.